What's up, everybody, and welcome back. Episode 7, Dark Sunsets. Episode JR.
Lucky number 7. How are you doing today, brother?
I'm doing well. We made it back on a beautiful evening here. What's popping, man? We've got this new merch that we definitely wanted to share with everybody as well.
Merch Madness. You know, March Madness is here with the NCAA tournament, but Merch Madness is here because we got the new Dark Sunset swag.
Hell yeah. So we got these customized shirts. So anybody who wants a shirt, you're going to have to pay for it. Standard.
Well, just give us a shout out, and you know, we'll probably end up just probably, you know, once a week picking a random subscriber and just, you know, sending them something, you know, just to say thanks. You know, we appreciate all the feedback and a lot of good stories that you guys have been sending over. You know, just very thankful for everything you guys do, and always give us shouts on social. You know, hit us up on IG, Twitter. You know, send some snail mail, you know, carrier pigeon, whatever else you need to do.
Whatever you have to send through. And yeah, on that note, speaking of that random subscriber that we'll definitely send some merch to, we've been getting a lot of positive feedback on Apple iTunes Podcast Official now. Yep. So yeah, we're getting, you know, some good ratings and some good reviews. So we really appreciate everybody jumping on there. So like and subscribe.
Thank you guys for that. And also, you know what time it is. It was Taco Tuesday not too long ago, but shout outs to Guacamole. Go check out David at the truck. They have different locations, but guacamole.com. Get it in there.
I really think we should get to the point now where there's so many episodes where we shout out Guacamole that he doesn't know we shout out Guacamole, that we sit him down and we're like, look how many people have listened to this. Look how many times we've shouted you out. Where do we get that punch card?
Look how many people have gone to the food truck. Because there's been people that have shown up, you know, at his food truck a couple times. So, you know, just he's getting the feedback from our feedback.
Exactly. You know? So we have a lot of amazing stories today, some really interesting ones that we were just sharing and going over in detail, which we're really excited to share with you guys. But before we start,
the darker the sunsets, the brighter the days.
Hey, so welcome everybody. And you know, sometimes you have a shitty week and sometimes, you know, work doesn't work out for you and you're looking out of that cubicle where potentially you don't have a window. But speaking of shitty, this leads us into our first story, JR. So this guy, and when I use guy, I have quotes around this name, Mr. Matthew Luckhurst, who was a previous officer. He was just recently fired from his job, but was able to secure his job back for, you heard it first, for feeding a homeless person a dog shit sandwich.
So this officer was from Texas. I believe he's located in San Antonio. That story is real heavy. Obviously, the pun would be like it's a shitty story, which it in fact is. But I like how this guy actually somehow managed to get his job back as a civil servant supposed to protect people. How does he get his job back after feeding somebody a literal shit sandwich?
Is what I completely don't understand, right? So just to fast forward into this story right away, the interesting fact about this was this happened more than 2 years ago, and an actual officer actually ratted him out because this officer, first off, this officer, he was a bike cop, okay? He wasn't a standard. He probably did not have a gun. He was cruising around on, I'm not sure, maybe a Schwinn. I'm not sure what type of bike we're talking here.
A Huffy? I don't know.
A Huffy? Maybe a Trek bike.
What standard police issue these days? I don't know exactly.
So not a vehicle, cruising around on a bike. So what he did was the actual officer that told on him, which this guy is not only a hero, but he's also the guy who would ask for extra homework in college and high school. He picked up a piece of feces, placed it on a slice of white bread, and put it in a styrofoam container next to the unknown homeless man.
So if you actually go out to Urban Dictionary and just check the definition of shit sandwich, a shit sandwich is defined on this website as a method of delivering some bad news, advice, or a rejection of someone's ideas. And they you know, continue to say that it's designed to make the bad news, the advice, or the rejection more palatable. So this guy actually took the Urban Dictionary definition of shit sandwich and did the exact opposite. There's no way that, one, he's making anything more palatable. He's not helping out with, the guy's already homeless. So if anything, give him just the bread. Like, why even go and pick up the feces? Like, you know, that I'm glad he's not a officer that rides horseback, because then that would have been a lot of
oh, that would have been
Lincoln logs.
That would have been a triple decker. You know, when you go to like a Denny and you have three different levels,
supersized
it. Yeah, that would have been a full supersize. And speaking of the homeless person, as we're both obviously compassionate towards, and we have no idea who this homeless person is, it says in the article that police could not actually locate the homeless man after this occurred to interview him. Are we thinking he died from eating a shit sandwich?
I think he probably left that area just thinking, if there's cops giving me shit sandwiches, I don't need to be in this area, this location. Like, he probably moved on to greener pastures somewhere else in Texas.
I mean, he already lives in San Antonio. If you've never been to San Antonio, I've been to San Antonio. It's a dog shit sandwich of a place.
The funny thing is, in the article, you know, towards the end of it, there was some excerpt that it said that both the police chief and the mayor of San Antonio went on record to basically, you know, downplay the shitty act. You know, and that's in this article. So,
I mean, these jokes literally write themselves, the fact that it's happening. And, you know, when you're a shitty person, things happen and you do some terrible things in your life. And that leads us in, you know, to our next story here, which is hashtag surviving Cardi B. So I'll let you definitely intro this one about Cardi B. You know, she's a famous superstar, R&B and rapper artist now. But previously, growing up, she did some dodgy stuff, and definitely share with us.
Yeah, and so on another shit sandwich related issue, you know, the most recent, you know, we talked about R. Kelly and how R. Kelly has been, the term nowadays is basically canceled, where people are kind of just ignoring him, muting him, since he had these allegations of, you know, having misconduct with young females. And, you know, nobody condones, you know, we don't condone drugging people, you know, sexual misconduct, anything like that. And then this Cardi B story is based off of, you know, she is now a Grammy winning rapper, but she started off as a stripper, then became a reality star, then became a rapper. As a stripper, she was on record, on video, basically stating that she used to invite men back, you know, to the hotel, basically, oh yeah, you want to fuck, whatever, whatever, yeah, let's go back to the hotel, take them back to the hotel, and then drug them, and when they you know, went unconscious after they were drugged, she would just rob them. And so I don't know how many men exactly, you know, she's done this to, but, you know, the issue I have with this is because the guys are being held accountable for, you know, whatever it is they're doing, which, you know, everybody should be held accountable, because, you know, you shouldn't just be drugging people like that. But as somebody that has been roofied by girls twice now, this is back in Tallahassee, but it's twice now, it's definitely not, I mean, it wasn't even needed. You know what I'm saying? Like, some good conversation would have done the trick probably, you know. Right. But she has gotten away with this. And I mean, you know, this just kind of broke. But my whole thing is, if she was literally drugging people and robbing them, I mean, it's not quite at the level of drugging and, let's say, taking somebody sexually, but by drugging somebody and then just taking advantage of them, that's my issue with this.
Right.
I mean, I understand you got to hustle, but there's other ways you can do it without, you know, drugging people.
And as you're talking about this as well, so many things come to mind when, you know, when you go to a strip club and you look over and there's that one old white guy who's just focusing on one girl, but he's spending so much money and attention on that one girl. I wonder if
racks.
I wonder if there was so many times where she would look at like an older privileged, you know, businessman in New York, let's say in the corner dark by himself before he takes the LIRR back to Long Island. And she's the type of person who's just focusing all the attention. I'm interested to know who are these people. And then of course, what is she getting from them, right? So if she robbed me, she wouldn't be able to get in my pants because they're so tight. You know, I wear a size 28. But I always have credit cards, so I feel as if I would be safe if I got drugged. But damn, I didn't know you got DR'd.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, it's a good conversation. You know, everything was going fine, you know, either way. But there was no need for any of that. Nonetheless, though, I guess this post that she had done, you know, that got caught on video, It was posted back in 2016, and it was before she actually became, you know, a platinum selling rapper. So, you know, everybody always has to do some sort of dramatic, outrageous outtake and then post it to social. And of course, it's going to come back to bite you. But, you know, drugging and taking advantage of people is definitely not, you know, fuego. It's not kid friendly. It's not adult friendly. It's just not friendly.
And then when you look on the other side of the spectrum, right, you have so many hip hop artists in that space that are talking about pull up with the Glock, I'm going to shoot you, talking about owning Uzis and driving by and shooting and glorifying like murder and violence. So what she's doing, you know, she's doing what she has to do to survive. So I can see from that standpoint. But yeah, you'd be pissed if you woke up and you're like, man, I don't know where I am right now. If I'm back at this hotel and where's all my belongings?
No money, no cards, no rollies. And so basically the internet, if you will, there's some outrage that's now starting to come up from this. And some people are actually comparing Cardi B to Bill Cosby. And, you know, Bill Cosby was convicted last year for basically drugging and molesting women back in 2004. So other people are posting this, you know, hashtag surviving Cardi B, you know, on social media and whatnot. And that is a spinoff of there's a hashtag for the R. Kelly documentary that we previously mentioned. And
right.
I think it was last episode or the episode before that for surviving R. Kelly. So now it's surviving Cardi B. And, you know, hopefully now that she's quote unquote made it, she's still not, you know, doing that to Offset.
I was just about to say, do you think that's how Offset came about? She came into the Bronx strip club and was like, come back over here. And he's like, what's your name? He's like, I'm Off. He's like, you're what? Offset. And then woke up at the W Hotel, of course, because he's a millionaire. And he woke up and he's like, yep, she's officially my wife. This is how we met and how that goes.
Yeah, I just don't want this thing to perpetuate where it's like, you know, there's already the Me Too movement and whatnot. And just hopefully there's not this whole cycle of, all right, well, the guys have done it. Now the girls are doing it. And then somehow the guy, and it's just a cyclical, yeah, just end it.
Which
please.
Is what's happening, right? We're seeing so many articles and so many either male versus female, black versus white, different cultures versus different cultures come up, and they're always comparing and contrast. So I think this one's going to go by the wayside because she's so real and authentic. And yeah, I think Cardi B is just definitely going to just flex on this one and bypass it completely.
And real quick, the funny thing was when I wanted to look up this story, I had typed in Cardi B rob. You know, I didn't even get to finish typing, and Google pulled up instantly Cardi B robbing and raping. So that was the Google search, just so you
guys
know.
That's not the title of her new album, is that?
That actually could be, you know, we'll see. You know, stay tuned. But yeah, it's just, you know, it's a shitty way to screw somebody over. But on the other hand, that transitions us to this next piece where in the NFL, you have the Carolina Panthers quarterback, Cam Newton, you know, well-known quarterback. He made it to the Super Bowl, didn't win it, you know, a couple years back, but he made it to the Super Bowl against the Denver Broncos. And for the month of March, Cam Newton is deciding that he's going to take a break from climaxing. Now, we are recording this on, I believe this is the 27th. Possibly the 28th.
Yep. So he's in the final countdown.
So, you know, he's made it this far, but, you know, basically Cam wanted to, and he informed the world. So it wasn't like a quiet, you know, just self, you know, self-imposed hiatus or whatever, but he wanted to quit quote unquote climaxing. You know, he said he went vegan in February and quit climaxing, and that he wants to, basically because football is such a tough game and it tests one's mental toughness, you know, so hard, that he wanted to see if he'd be able to, you know, get himself ready and prepared for the long, grueling NFL season that's ahead.
See, and I don't agree with this at all. So, and the reasons why I don't agree with this is because I'm more focused after I blast, right? So when things come, when, you know, they call it dream splashers for a reason. Yeah. My dreams essentially come true after splashing. So this being said, I think he's going to just rage, and the juices of him are just going to come up from his feet all the way up to his mind. And then eventually like steam's just going to come out of his head, because what's going to happen on April 1st? I feel bad for his wife, or if he has a girlfriend, what's going to happen then? You know what I mean?
Just pray. it's just, and the thing that's kind of weird from this was that some of the stories said that Cam Newton gives up sex for March.
Right.
But a lot of the main stories say that Cam Newton has given up climaxing. So I feel like he's catching a loophole where he's saying, oh, yeah, I'm giving up climaxing, but he's still getting it in. He's just not, you know, finishing per se.
True.
You know.
But when you build it up that much, I mean, there's definitely a little, you know, hotness coming out a little bit prior to finishing. So what, he's going to get to the point where he's like, all right, I'm about 6 strokes left to actually finish, and then be like, hey, it's been great, shaking of a hand, going and putting his shirt back
on.
Thank
you for a lovely dinner.
Thank you for an amazing time. And the woman's just going to look at him and be like, what do you mean? And he's like, it's still March, baby.
Hey, well, if for some reason all of a sudden he comes to training camp and he's, they're like, oh, Cam Newton's converted his body fat percentage to 1% or, you know, or something, then it's like some crazy superhuman feats, he's throwing the football 20 yards further or something like that, then maybe there's a time, you know, instead of when I'm going to the gym, then I need to take a break, you know, still get it in, but take a quote-unquote break. And then,
and what if this is as we talk about so many trends that happen and so many challenges,
the climaxing challenge,
right? What happens if this pops and like people start to do this? And I know, and I've heard of this before, I've heard of a trend where people are doing No Nut November.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
So I've heard of that one before. But on a spring level, no way. The summer is starting to approach. Everything's looking phenomenal.
Have you ever seen Bambi or any of those things? It's like when spring is around, there's like the birds, the bees,
the summer, you know, dresses, all of it.
Yeah.
Like it's full on. But over said and done, I think what will be amazing about this story here is if he does actually do this to make an actual MVP run. As you mentioned, he went all the way to the Super Bowl a couple years back. I actually remember that, where they went undefeated, right? They went literally undefeated until like the final one.
Yeah.
Until the final game. And maybe he, if he starts to do this and starts to see it being successful, then he just doesn't have sex during that standpoint. I mean,
or doesn't climax.
True, because it's all about finishing.
Because right? if we took it literally from what he said, he's just taking a break from climaxing. So, you know, he's still making sure that the engine can run and, you know, it can drive around the block and whatnot. He's just not putting it at max RPMs. You know what I'm saying? He's not going top speed. You know, he's leaving in like fourth gear.
So if this was Fast and the Furious, he's not like having the flames where it's when you click the NOS button.
He's not hitting the nitrous boost or anything like that. He's just, you know, taking a good, you know, quarter mile drive without, you know, too much strain, too much hassle.
I mean, in actuality, when you look at this, I would take a month off Tokyo drifting, you know?
That's slick, you know, and not just the drift in itself, but I really am excited to see this next season for him, because if I'm telling you, if he comes out and he's just, you know, lighting the world on fire, you know, setting some records or just balling out, just 4 touchdowns in a game, like running over people, you know, doing a Superman dance, I think that'll be the big secret recipe right there.
I think it really will be. And, you know, when you're finishing and you're climaxing, if you will, we know that that is ultimately what happens to create a baby, right? So that's ultimately what you do. So that definitely leads us into our next tale here, that a Bangladeshi woman who was 20 years old gives birth to twins 1 month after the first baby. So
this is incredible.
This is really unbelievable. So literally 20-year-old, I'm not going to say her name because I'll butcher it completely, gave birth to a baby boy last month through normal delivery, but doctors essentially missed the presence of a second uterus.
Yeah, and I think I could pull it off. It's Arifa Sultana.
Boom.
But yeah, so I don't know how doctors missed the presence of a second uterus. I'm not sure how it looks, you know, when they're examining it. I'm not a doctor, but I would think that you'd be able to see like, oh, wait, there's something that's not quite traditional here. You know, what's going on, whatever.
Yeah. And that's what's really strange, is because the first child that was born was a healthy boy, delivered by the doctor. And then literally 26 days later, after that child was born prematurely, her water broke again and she didn't realize that she was pregnant with twins. So maybe Cam Newton built all this up, flew over to Bangladesh, and definitely was able to produce.
Bangladesh.
He could definitely be, he can definitely be potentially that fertile. But I mean, step your game up as a doctor in the professional business. If you can't tell that there's a second uterus, I don't know how this is coming about. But
well,
yeah,
it's also crazy because if she gave birth to twins 26 days later, you would think that she would still have some size, you know, in her stomach. So if they're looking at her, and she gave birth, you know, I would think that it still wouldn't, I'm not sure, I haven't seen a photo of what she actually looks like, but if she's 20, you know, when you're a little bit younger or whatever, you're a little bit, you know, firmer, a little bit tighter, whatever. So I would think that just by her having three babies inside of her that were pretty much in the same, they were in the same trimester technically.
That's
yeah.
right. Yeah.
In that same age range, I don't know how they wouldn't be able to detect the babies, because it didn't say anything about the babies. They said they were all healthy. The twins were, it was a boy and a girl. But, you know, 26 days, that's not that big of a difference. And for all the babies to be healthy, they couldn't have, they weren't premature or anything like that. So right. I just don't know how you missed that. Like, that's one of the craziest things.
I mean, has the ultrasound technology not as intense as what we have here in the United States over there? I mean, judging by this story, you know, she comes from a poor family, and this really just puts it in perspective. She told the news agency that her husband barely makes the equivalent of $70 a month as a laborer. So it was obviously a huge responsibility to take on not one child, but now three after they found that those two twins.
And that's also another cool thing, because there's apparently this like trend that's kind of been happening. I got a couple of friends that it's happened to also, but this trend of twins being born, that one's a boy and one's a girl. And that's just kind of cool, just because, you know, some people had, I think they had the embryos fertilized separately, you know, somehow in the womb. But then this lady just had two uterus. Is that the uteri?
Uteri, yeah.
Is that one of the two?
Right, it's got to be.
You know, we'll, at least our medical jargon is probably going to be better than the Kelna Medical College.
Episode, you know, 7, uteri.
Uteri, there you go. You got it right there. But yeah, it's just good thing for her that she had three healthy babies. Fortunately, everything worked out well for them. But yeah, if you got two wombs, you got three babies, you know, doctors should be able to figure that out. So yeah, step your game up.
Shout out to them for a miracle. That's amazing that everything was born successfully and comfortable. On the unsuccessful side, we'd actually like to full circle a story that we definitely touched on initially on a couple episodes back. Mr. Jussie Smollett.
Or as you would say, Jussie Smollett.
Smollett.
If you're French.
If you're French.
So, enchanté, baguettes, ha ha ha.
All the above. So we have an official timeline if you want to kick this off for us.
But yeah, a lot
of these stories now, especially, you know, what's happened, it's been a roller coaster of a story, this one.
Yeah, and this is one of the crazier stories that have, you know, happened in quite some time. But if you listen to our previous stories or our previous episodes, we did mention this way back when it started. You know, basically, Jussie Smollett is a character, actor, you know, musician, whatnot, on the TV show Empire. And, you know, there was this whole potential plot where he possibly staged, or evidence pointed to him staging his own racist beatdown, you know, jumping, you know, situation where he got attacked, basically, like a racial attacking that he staged, basically.
Through, like, MAGA people, right? Make America Great Again, like Trump
supporters. Yeah, like the people had Make America Great Again hats on, but yeah, then it was two African American people that he worked with on the set that were like trainers or something like that. So on January 22nd, all this, of course, happened in 2019. On January 22nd, Jussie Smollett received a threatening letter, supposedly at home or at the set of Empire, and nobody really, you know, paid too much attention to that. And then on the 29th, when he was in Chicago, supposedly around 1 to 2 o'clock in the morning, then he got attacked by two people that had Make America Great Again hats on with ski masks, and they had a noose and bleach, and supposedly attacked him. And this is like 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, a lot of questions surrounded how they even knew what was going on with him in that regard.
Which the people who they found out who actually did that, it was just the polar opposite of who he described actually beat him up. Right.
Right. And I believe they were Nigerian. So yeah, they were not white people that, you know, beat him up and whatnot. So just kind of adding to the mystery and what else was going on. And then on February 1st, he released his first official statement. And then on February 13th, he actually did a little, I guess like a small interview type thing with ABC News. And on that same day, the, you know, the people that they had as people of interest, you know, were arrested or apprehended by the cops. So then on the 15th, after talking with the quote unquote assailants and whatnot, the investigation kind of took a turn, and then it went from him being the victim to possibly him staging everything. And then on the 19th, Cook County, which is in Chicago, the attorney basically had announced the recusal and kind of stepped away from it. And then somebody else stepped up and took the charges, and they charged him with disorderly conduct on February 20th. So then fast forward one more day, February 21st, the police explained the allegations. On the 22nd, his character on that show Empire was actually removed from episodes of Empire. So Fox had actually removed him from episodes just based off the controversy.
And I'm sure that was probably just a great decision to do, because it was such a distraction for the other cast members on site.
And they're going to have to answer questions about this. And it was probably just going to be too, you know, controversial. But then on March 7th, a grand jury came back with 16 counts on an indictment for him. So 16 counts because of all the, you know, stuff that had came up with. For some reason, on March 26th, the prosecutors then decided to drop the charges, all of the charges. And now on March 28th, today, the city of Chicago demanded payment from Jussie Smollett for the expenses used by the taxpayers, which is, I believe it's like a little bit under $140,000.
Yep, it was. Yeah, definitely.
So it's just crazy turns of events. It was like an up and down roller coaster, and, you know, something happened. It wasn't on the up and ups, you know, and I just, from how it started, where, you know, it was potentially a hot button issue, to him possibly setting things up, to then them dropping the charges. Now, that I did hear that potentially there would be potential federal charges, you know, because that's just, you know, for Cook County and City of Chicago. So he's not out of the woods yet. But
I mean, what are your thoughts on his career? Do you think he's going to get a job in Hollywood again after this type of controversy? Or do you think now his clout even goes higher and people are going to hire him for, like, this is definitely a scenario, in my opinion, that there's going to be a documentary made about, right? Some type of documentary that he's probably
making Jussie,
right?
You know, yeah. Something like that.
Surviving Smollett, like
that actually has a nice ring to it.
And Cardi B is actually inviting him to a hotel room. No, he likes dudes. He's not going to do that. He's not going to get drugged. But I definitely feel as if there's going to be a set type piece, whether it's a documentary or a movie about what's happening here. But I'm interested to hear your take to see, from a career standpoint, do you think he's going to continue and thrive? Because he's definitely not coming back onto Empire. I think they've 86'd him and he's done.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they've done like a full 86ing, but like this whole kind of turn of events, like if somehow he manages to dodge, like I don't know how he dodged all those charges, but if he manages to get away with it, then maybe he can, you know, save face. But at very worst, there's so many streaming services where he could probably hit like a straight to, you know, streaming show or something like that. I don't know if he'd be able to do a movie per se, because I've only seen him on TV.
Right.
But, you know, there's going to be some Amazon studio, some studio that's for straight for streaming, like Redbox Original, if they even have that yet. I don't even know.
And I think that could potentially be the case. And as we saw what Apple's doing right now, they're releasing their own streaming network. So I can definitely see them not only incorporating the Jussie Smollett type case and scenario, but yeah, they're once again, as we know, Apple's officially taking over the world. They recently had an event this week that was letting everyone know that now they're getting into the banking game. So now they're actually going to be having their own credit card, where it's an amazing type credit card that it's going to be mainly digital, but there's going to be a tangible card as well. And I think this summer you're going to see an exclusive amount of people with the Apple print on the actual credit card, and it's a true flex to do that.
Yeah, this is kind of, this reminds me of like kind of like the Venmo card, except the Venmo card is basically just a debit card, if you will. The Apple Pay card, the Apple card itself, it utilizes Apple Pay, so you can still do your Apple payments, you know, wirelessly and whatnot. But it is in fact a credit card, so it doesn't have any fees for late payments or whatever, any type of delinquency or anything like that. You don't have fees, but what it will do is it'll adjust your interest rate. So if you don't have to worry about fees, it's more secure, and you get a SIT card that doesn't have like any name or information. It's just like a card that's, you know, it's another layer of security in a world that's not as secure as it once was, you know what I mean?
Exactly. And I think that's going to be really the selling point, where so many people now are getting their credit card scammed and stolen, where this now almost generates a unique code every time that there is a transaction being made that you can monitor and get a push notification on. So you have the ability to shut it down really quick. And then, of course, on the card, there's not actual numbers like your standard credit card.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be, you know, a game changer. And of course, you know, you're if you're an iPhone baby now, you're going to be locked in for life with this type of card.
Yeah, that should, you know, cap it off right there. And it's actually cool because it does do good budget management. It has like a lot of budget management tools, and it makes it a lot easier to just pay your card. You get a lot of cashback incentives. It seems like they did like a lot of good research on this. And I know that, you know, from a technical standpoint, for anybody that's into like stocks and things of that nature, they actually do have a lot of just liquid cash on their balance sheet, and they just didn't really use it. So this is a good way for them to use it without technically putting themselves at risk. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think so. And you know, give some of that money to Cardi B. I mean, about 10 years ago, because she certainly needed it. That definitely wraps up the latest episode here. Once again, as we're sharing with you, we really appreciate everyone liking, subscribing. We have some merch that's live now. You'll see us floating around with these tees. We're looking at hats and socks as well. So
rock the socks.
Yeah, Guacamole coming out there as well. Definitely give them a shout out to see if they can be the sponsor. But yeah, we love y'all for sure.
Yeah, keep sending us the ideas. Thank you for everything that you guys do. Peace.